Alléluia. Buenas noches. I heard today is the Hispanic night. So, vamos a hablar español. What did you eat this afternoon? Hispanic food, I think. So we'll keep eating Hispanic words. All right. Praise God. It is always a bless to share the Word of God. And it's always also a bless to see the brothers and sisters that belong to the kingdom. So we're very glad to be here again with all of you. Yes. And we're glad that God is still being God. Yes. That He is still in the throne. Amen. Anywhere you are. Amen. We were in Honduras in the middle of troubles, and there was God. Yeah. You know, there was God right there, just working for us. So, man, I don't know how people can turn their back to God when He's always there. Yeah. You know, there is no 911. See, He is always there. It doesn't matter where we are. He is always there. And this is the thing, that He deals with us in person. He doesn't send nobody else but Him. That important are us to Him. So we should feel a little bit more excited about that. You know, knowing that the King of Glory always comes to us. So, we'll pray. God, we thank You once again for this beautiful day that You gave us. Thank You because Your presence is always in us. Thank You because we can have the freedom to worship You. Because we can gather and have a feast in Your name. And thank You because You always bless everything we do. We thank You for that. We thank You for this church in this place. Thank You for being a light to this town and the cities around here. Thank You, O Lord. And we pray that other churches can come a true light for all the people, O Lord, around the world. Thank You, and we ask Your blessing in this word, and we ask, O Lord, that everybody here will be touched by Your power, by Your word, and we pray that when we leave this place, we'll be edified by Your grace. So, in Your name we pray. Amen. And amen. I want to read a couple of scriptures. You know, I'm getting better on reading English. So, that's good. So, we can go to Luke chapter 22. And we can read the verse 39 through 42. Luke chapter 22, verse 39 through 42 says, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and His disciples followed Him. On reaching the place, He said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. I think this week Pastor Ron was telling us that life is about decisions. Decisions we make. And what important is that God sometimes just let us walk the way we choose to walk, even though we run sometimes. But that's the beauty of Him, because He don't want us to serve Him because we are afraid of something. A lot of people in a lot of churches, they're in the churches because they're afraid to go to hell, not because they love God. See, God wants a heaven full of people, not because they were afraid to go to hell, but because they loved Him. So it's a big difference when you are a Christian and you really want to love God. So our life is always decisions. So here was Jesus being God, and He was in a place that He needed to take a decision. And He asked the Father. He said, Father, you can take this cup from me. If you want, I don't have to go through all this pain that I will go through. But He also could say, Lord, Father, I'm not going. I didn't do nothing. I'm holy. So I'm not going. But He chose to go. And He said, Father, if you want, you can make it easy on me. But I want your will more than everything else. So in our life, there is always time for decisions. There is always time for decisions. Every day we take decisions. And every decision that we take, of course, there are consequences. It could be good, it could be bad. But it's because you choose something. So Jesus was here choosing something. And praise God for that. Because now we can have eternal life through Him. So about 30 years ago, I was 19 years old. I had long hair. So I was just 19 years old. And when we are young, we like things easy. Maybe not everybody, but most of the young kids, you know, want the things easy. And if you are with people around you that they don't fear God, you're going to get in trouble. Like I did. See, I used to go out and come back around 3, 4 in the morning. And I always saw my mom waiting for me. There in the house. She didn't go to bed until the last boy came in. So she God touched her. And she became a Christian. So then she started inviting us to the church. But who wants to wake up at 9 in the morning when you just got home around 4 to go to church? So she always inviting us to go, and nobody went to church. So I love my mom with all my heart. So I said, I will do a sacrifice for her, just to please her. So I start going to church, not because I like the church, but I want to please my mom. But I didn't know what I was doing, other than that I was pleasing my mom. So there were people around me that they go to church also, but they were wicked people. So this brother-in-law of mine, he invited me to work with him. I have my normal job, but he said, you can have a part-time and you can make more money what you're making now. And I said, what we got to do? Well, we're just going to buy insurance policies. We work during the night. And so we're just going to do fraud to the insurance companies. But there was a big organization. I didn't know. There was organized crime in that. So he started training me. After a couple of weeks I've been with him, he gave me a credit card with $20,000. That was in 1987. He said, you can spend as much as you want, and when the bill comes, just bring it to me. Wow. So I said, wow. That's good. So I started spending money. And then one day, he showed me his bed full of money. He just dumped money into the king-size bed. And he said, you can have as much as you want. See, on that day, a lot of drug was coming through the Key West. And they were looking for drivers to bring the drug from the Key West to Miami. So they pay you good money. So he showed me all that money. I was just 19 years old. And I said, I can do anything I want. But they want to make sure that I know how to work. And I didn't have fear for police and that I could lie, you know. So they tested me. So one of those tests, we had an accident. Of course, everything was fake. You know, we crashed two vehicles, and I was the victim. Then I called the police, and then they get a report. So I have to go to the hospital and be hospitalized for 7 days so we can collect the money from the insurance. So I took a week vacation in the hospital. But when the pastor knew I was in the hospital, he thought it was a real accident. So he went and visited me. And I remember that man coming in, and he thought that I really was hurt, but I didn't have nothing, you know. And God just touched me. And then he invited me to receive Christ. And I said, yes. He prayed for me. And I felt something different inside of me. But I couldn't leave the hospital. But then, after those 7 days passed, then I started going to church. Not because my mom, but because I was touched by God. So I was in a place that I have to make a decision then. Because I got all this. And I got God in my side. So I took the decision and I went to talk to my brother-in-law. And I said, hey, no more. No more. I found Jesus. And he get mad at me. And he had a knife in his hand. And he threw that knife to me. So I just ran from that place. So I was in a place that I have to take a decision. I could go with the other side, but probably I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have the family that I have, and I wouldn't meet you. So I took a decision to leave everything that it was offered to me. So we've been praying, a lot of us, and I think all of us are praying for God to touch us. And I think I can feel in my spirit that God is asking us to make decisions. young people, adults, you know, I think that God is asking us to make decisions. Every decision that we make will bring a consequence. God never failed. He is always there. That been 30 years. Last November was 30 years of that event. And I'm not sorry about it. I'm glad that that happened. I'm glad that it happened. So my brother-in-law was very angry at me. So when I took the bill to him, it was $19,000 and so. He said, "You pay that. You pay that." And I say, "Somehow I will. Somehow I will." The credit card was under my name. I don't know how he get it, but it was under my name. But I didn't care about that. I didn't care about that. Because I was touched by God. I was touched by Jesus. And I didn't understand anything. So I just started working in the church. I just started eating as much as I could from God. But here was Jesus before the Lord, saying, "Lord, you can take this. You can take this cup from me. But I don't want my will. But I want your will done in my life." You know, I've seen a lot of Christians sometimes, and they have a miserable life. I've seen them frustrated. And I got this conclusion that a lot of them, they said they love God. And I don't doubt that they love God. But they want to do God's will in their own will. We can't work like that. We have the very word of God here. And we just have to obey it. We just have to follow what He is telling us to do. But when you start fighting against God, when you start fighting against the will of God, then you will become a frustrated person. There will be no happiness in you. So one day you will be happy and people will ask you how you're doing, and you will tell them, "Hey, I'm in heaven." But next day they ask you how you're doing. They start just complaining. Because God is asking things from us. God is asking things from us. And we want to hold on to those things. But I tell you, the time is coming. And we are in those times that either you let that go or you stick with it. But there will be a consequence of what you decide to do. We cannot go against God's will. So I've been praying these days about that we really need a deeper relationship with God. We cannot just go soft on that. We have to confront the truth of God beginning in our life. In our life, there is a mirror. The Word of God is a mirror that it is in us. So, there is another scripture that I would like to read, and it's in the book of the Psalms. Psalms 51, we all know that precious psalm. And we know that David wrote this after he committed that sin. Yes. And he was, I think, feeling terrible. But he understood one thing. And if we read in verse 15, Psalm 51, verse 15 says, "O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise." you do not delight in sacrifices, or I will bring them. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. So David understood that there were no sacrifices. Oh Lord, I will leave this for now, but I will keep this. He said, you don't need a sacrifice. You need a humble heart. You need a humble heart, an honest heart to do things. When I was a businessman, God called us to the ministry. And, I was very disobedient when he called me. And I love to do business. It was in my blood to do business. I couldn't even sell rocks to somebody and make money from them. You know, so it was on me. So I thought that I could manage the business and the church. So God allowed things to happen around me so I could understand. So the person that I have in charge of my business to take care of the finances, she was stealing me the money without me knowing anything. So time passed, and one day I wrote a check, and the check was bound, and I called the bank and I said, what happened? Because I got money. I said, I'm sorry, you don't have money. So I start investigating and I start digging, and I found out that this person had took a lot of money from me. And when I found that, my flesh was very angry, and I really wanted to hurt that person, because that was something that I was working for years, and there was hours, days, years of work for my kids and for us, and this person didn't care about it. She just took the money little by little, and I was trusting that person. So the night that I confronted her, I told her that she's going to go to prison. And I went home and I was praying because I didn't feel peace. And I said, Lord, what happened? Why I don't have peace? I'm not doing anything wrong. She can go to jail. Why not? Now I don't have money. But God was touching me. And then I just stopped and I said, okay, what do you want me to do? So he took me to the Bible. He took me to Matthew 6. And he said, if you do not forgive a man their sin, I won't forgive you. And I was like, what? You can't do this to me. There I was in a point that I had to make a decision. I had the right to take this person to prison. But he said, no, you have to forgive. How can you forgive something that hurt you? And there was all night struggling with that. Either I obeyed God or I do it my way. I obeyed God or I do it my way. Because God spoke. He said, forgive. And sometimes God has spoke to us. And we keep fighting against that. And that's why I think we are in a time that God is asking us to make decisions. Because we've been dealing with those things for so long. So there I was. Then I said, okay, Lord, I give up. I will forgive this person. And next day, I asked her to come and meet with me. And I told her, I forgive you. Because this is what God is telling me. I don't want to, but I have to. So, but that wasn't a forgiveness. My heart was hurt. Because even though I spoke and I told her that I forgive her, my heart didn't. And there was a couple of times that I saw that person walking on the street and I was driving my car and I said, I just could turn a little bit. Oops, was an accident. You know? But then I start feeling bad. Because I did something just to obey, yes, but that's not the forgiveness that God wants us to have. So I say, Lord, I can't deal with this. I can't deal with this. I mean, if you told me that I forgive her, then how will I forgive this person? Then these couple of verses here, that's what David said. We need a broken spirit. We need a humble heart. We need to surrender to God. And that's what I did. I said, Lord, you want me to forgive, but I can't. And there are things in our life that we cannot fix it. And we tried and tried and tried, and that's what many of us been trying for years. Trying and trying and trying, and it's not working. Because we haven't surrendered. Because we do not have a humble heart to ask God, please do it. Do it your way, not my way. So I said, Lord, help me. I don't know how to do it. Because I know, you know, I said, you know what I feel when I see that person. So I start praying that I want His will. So I was again doing that decision. I could make the other decision and I think I was right. But it wasn't what God want me to do. So God wants from us a humble heart. A heart that is surrendered to Him. To do the things His way, not our way. I remember that when I received a prophecy that I will be serving God, and there was this doctor that called me and said, Selena, I want to talk to you. So I said, okay. So he said, it's okay if I invite you to have supper. And I said, yes, it is okay. I like to eat. You know? So okay. He said, I will pick you up around 7 in the evening. So there he was around 7. And he parked his car and we just started talking. And he said, Celine, we've been thinking about you. There is a group of people that want to build a church in La Ceiba. And we are thinking about you. We know that God has called you. And I said, well, thank you. And he said, the church that we want to build, it's a middle-class church. And there I was like, what? Yes, a middle class church. See, we don't have a church for the middle class here. See? And I was like, okay, doctor, so how are we going to do this? So we're going to have somebody in the at the door when they come and said, how much is your income? Or let me see what kind of car are you driving. And he said, no, don't worry about that. We're not going to do that. The only thing that you have to do is to change the way you speak. So you start using words that common people don't use. So nobody will tell them to leave. They will live by themselves. And I was like, I'm sorry. But who am I to change the Word of God? And I said, I don't know if you have forgot that the Word of God was designed to be understood for the most ignorant person in the planet. You don't need to read and write to understand the Word of God. So I'm sorry, but I can't take that. I really sorry because we're not gonna go and have supper. I was very sorry because I want to have supper, but you know, I said no, we're not going. And he said, wait, Jalene. The best part is about to come. And he said, we'll have a nice building. It will be a big church. You will have a house. And you can go and choose the car you want. And I said, no, you haven't understand that. I don't want to be part of that. I am really sorry, but thank you for the invitation. But we're not going to have supper. See, there are times in our life that God allows us to go places so we can make decisions. I could make that decision, but I couldn't meet you. Probably. If I wouldn't choose that, I would have to go through all my finance problems. Maybe. But maybe I wouldn't be the happiest person that I am today. Maybe I wouldn't have the chance to know truth in my life. So I think that the people of God is in a place that we need to take decisions. God is asking us to make decisions in our life. The year is about to end. And people always make plans for the new year. But how many times have you done that? And you're still struggling with the same things. So it's not about the end of the year and the beginning of the new year, is about that we haven't been straight with God. It's just that we don't want to let those things that we love go. So, if I ask here, how many of you love God? I'm sure that all of us will say, I love you, Lord. And if I ask again and said, how many of you love God more than anything else? Then you probably think about some things. And at the end, probably you said, yes, I love you, God. But my mom taught me, I said, that she used, and she said this. I will try to translate that. She said, it's not the same looking at her coming that talk to her. So, I will tell you what it is. It's not the same to say, I love you, God, and really do it. How do you know you love God? I don't know if you have ever asked that question to yourself. How do you know I love God? You want to please Him? Yeah, please Him. Yeah, yes, but we all want to please God, but at the end we don't. See, I think that in my personal experience is that I found out that if I really love God, I know that I love Him is when He asks for something from me and I'm willing to give it to Him. So God is taking us to places so we can all see if we really love Him. How many times have God asked us, give me that? Give me that. But we come to church every week and we praise God. We cry. We sing. And we haven't given that to Him. So I think it's time for us. See, I praise God because we've been hearing this word. He wants to refine us. Like silver, like gold. And He won't do that if I'm not willing to give Him what He's asking from me. That means I don't love Him enough. And the time that is coming, we cannot live just with, okay, I love you, God. Are you willing? Are you willing to live or to give Him what He is asking you? See, I want to read another scripture in the book of Acts. I think it's chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse, we can read from 27. He said, having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the other apostles apply, we must obey God rather than men. And we know they were saying truth. We know they were very honest. Because we all know what they went through with no fear. God asked from them anything and they just give it to Him. God's mercy is so wonderful. And I praise for His mercy. Because He being merciful with me. But I really believe with all my heart that we are entering times that we are going to make decisions. You know, in some parts of some countries, you cannot mention the name of Jesus. Even here in the United States, they look at you in a weird way, that you are weird or you're from another planet or whatever. So there are times coming. And we can make a decision today, now, to say, Lord, I really want to love you, but I don't know how. See, that's not our job. But if we ask Him to teach us how to love Him, I'm sure that He will teach us how to love Him. Because, like I said, it's not the same saying, I love you, Lord. I love you, God. Oh, I would do anything for you. See, I love my mother very much. I miss her a lot. She was used to live with us. We lived with her in Georgia. And God been asking me to go back to Honduras for so long. I was very disobedient to God. And it was hard for me. I talked to Pastor Ron a couple of times about it. And I was thinking about my mother. I was thinking about leaving her. But there was God calling me. What do I do? It was a hard decision that still hurt me today when I think of her, when I talk to her. I talk to her daily. But she knows that I told her once when God started teaching me the truth. I talked to my mother and I told my mother, Mom, I love you. But I love God more than you. So never put me in a spot that I have to choose between you and God. Because God is always going to win. So she knows that. My daughter knows that. My son knows that. My wife knows that. And it's not easy sometimes to make decisions. But I truly believe with all my heart that God is asking things from us. All these meetings. Because He wants to really bless us. He really wants to bless us. He don't want us to have just joy for one day or 2 days. He wants to have joy. He wants us to be joyful with Him every single day. So God has brought us to places. And He just wants us to take decisions. And there are things we cannot change. There are things that we cannot fix. See, it is hard for me sometimes to talk to my mother and know that she needs things that I will be able to do it right away. And sometimes she has to wait 2-3 days waiting for something that she needs. But on top of that, I'm trusting God that He is taking care of things. We don't know how it's going to be things in Honduras. But we know that God wants us to be in Honduras. You know, a couple of years ago, I always pray. I said, Lord, if you want me to go, show me this or do this. Then I understood that I was wrong. Because I knew that He wanted me to go back. But He didn't push me to take a decision that it was only me the responsible to do it. So God won't push you. He wants you to take that decision. So I just wanted to share this with you because I had it in my heart. And I'm pretty sure that God is asking things from us. So my prayer is that all of us had a humble heart. A humble heart to tell God, God, here it is. I don't know how I'm going to give it to you, but help me, please. Help me, please. So, that's it. So I praise God for this, and I pray that God touch us, and that this word can be a bless in your life. God bless you.
We're here, we might as well stand. And if you've got something going on in your life, if you've got something that you know you need God to change, it's the perfect invitation to get those things done. What I want is to have the Spirit of God come into my life.
What I want is to have the Spirit of God finish what He started, because God's talking to all of us. And we know that there are decisions that we've got to make that are decisions of our heart. And the great thing is, only we know. So we can congregate, and as long as nobody else knows, then we're okay, like Celine said. We can sing and talk and have a great time. But when we start getting down to the issue where God said, make a decision now, that's a different thing. And that's what His Spirit and presence is telling us. It's now is the time. And I believe that what we're coming into is a fantastic time for the church. Because what God intends to do is bring it to perfection. So that we become a partner with His body. And the one thing we're going to have to do is grow up into His head. Now, you know, your head thinks about all the stuff that's going on in your body. So that means that He's going to understand what the body's hurting over. And we think we can have something in us that's about someone else, like Celine. How do you have someone rob that much stuff from you, affect your children, affect your family, affect your business, and then forget it? The forgetting part is impossible. That takes the Spirit and presence of God. And that's where surrender comes in. So what He wants us to do is surrender. When He says sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, Jesus repeated that. Because what Celine did first was a sacrifice. God said, forgive it. He did. But it was a sacrifice to Him. And so He understood it as a sacrifice. This cost me a lot. And then God said, well, actually, we haven't really done it without the sacrifice. How about we forget how much it cost? How about if we forget how much it cost you? So that's the part that the Spirit and presence of God wants for us. And that's why He goes on to say, a broken and a contrite spirit. What I want, what you want, is to break before God. Because if I'm holding on to this promise to myself that tomorrow I will get what I want, or I'll be able to see the woman in trouble, or I will begin to feel that there's vengeance that's been done, whatever. If I'm going that direction, I've missed the point of God. And I have to decide today. Today, I'm going to lay these things at the feet of God. Today, I'm going to surrender these things to the will of God. And what I'm going to do is leave this place tonight different than I came in. Because what I want is to be part of the Church of the Redeemed. And that means that I'm transparent before God. You're transparent before God. And what He understands is what He wants and what we're offering. And sometimes there's a big difference between what He wants and what we offer. And He knows how to bring us to that place. So like Celine said, he could travel his own route. And there was nothing wrong with calling the police. This woman broke the law. But there was something wrong between him and God if he did that. And so he began the surrender. He began that walk. And that's what you want, is to have God bring these things to that place of obedience in all of our lives. So I want the folks who want to come forward and just ask God, hey, you change me. If I've got something going in me that is a turmoil and I'm wrestling with things, I want it out. I want this thing done. And you can come on up. So if the musicians are not in the gathering here in front, then they can gather behind me and sing some songs. But if you're gathering in front, stay right where you're at. We can do this with the heavenly choir. I want God to bring all of us into that place where we are in absolute surrender. Nothing less than what God wants in our life is sufficient for us. So we know if we've wrestled or if there's fears or if even there's anxieties. You guys, when he talked about the walls of Jerusalem in the book of Revelations, he said outside the walls, first thing he said was the fearful and the unbelieving. That's difficult to read and not make some sort of application because there are some times that we're afraid. But it isn't that kind of fear. It's that fear that this is going to be painful if I obey. This is going to be costly. Today I can say yes, but wow, what about in 1 week when I'm not feeling so good about this and I'm thinking about that, and then what will I do? See, there's a fear of the pain of the decisions that we make. And that's why it's like, you know what? Here's where I'm at. He suffered unto blood. He gave up and he made his decision. I'm going to do this thing God's way. And that's what we're doing here. This is what's happening right now. So I thank God for the message. And I thank God for the spirit of his presence that's reminding us. If you've got things in your heart, if you've got fear in your heart, if you're afraid of tomorrow, if you've got doubt that God loves you or doubt that he's going to see you through or that this is going to be too costly. We want that changed. So we want to pray together. God, we pray in your righteous name. God, we're standing here before your throne. Lord, we have one thing in mind, and that is to surrender to you. God, to obey you. God, to honor you. Lord, to accept what it is you want from us and to give it to you. God, to give over what you're asking from us. And Jesus, we understand that there are things that are problems that need a miracle. But you're a miracle working God. There are some things, God, that only your spirit and presence could fix. And Lord, we know you're in this place tonight fixing with the miracle working power. And God, this cannot hurt me enough that I would not obey you. God, this cannot cause me enough consternation that I would turn around. Jesus, what I want is to be as obedient to you every moment of every day from now on as I am right this minute. Bring it to pass in my life. God, let your Holy Ghost come down on every person in this place. God, let the cleansing power that you are, Jesus, free us from these things that accuse us. God, from these things that accuse others. From these things, God, that try to stop us. Lord, from believing that we can do these things that you ask. God, it is the very thing. Jesus, the children of Israel came to the river Jordan and they told you no. 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 We're not going to go across. We're not going to go across. We've weighed the armies. We've weighed the cities against us, and we believe you brought us here to kill us. God, that's the way we feel. And Jesus, indeed, you've brought us here out of a love that says, I will give you all of that for your obedience. You believe me. You believe me, then I'll give it. God, I want to be like Joshua. I want to be like Caleb. God, I want every person in this place, God, to make up their mind that they are finished with living one foot in and one foot out. God, I'm not going to wade into Jordan and decide to go back. God, once my face is set towards that mountain, God, where the sons of Anak live, God, I want your blessings to bring this thing to pass. God, we're in that hour. And God, we have decided this day whom we will serve. God, we've come to this moment because you brought a word to us and the word is complete. And what we want is to obey you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and body. God, it's yours. It is yours. And God, I thank you for the contrite and broken heart. God, should this decision break my heart? God, should this decision break my heart? God, I want this decision to be absolutely steadfast in you. No turning back. No turning back. God, I pray it in your name, Jesus. God, we're here by divine appointment. I believe you've appointed this night to do what only your Spirit can do. And we belong to you. God, we belong to you. And we belong to the victory side of the Jordan River. God, we're finished with the east. We're going to cross to the west. God, and we're going to go all the way to the sea. This land is our land. God, this hour is our hour. God, your glory and your magnificence, Lord, are dependent upon us to take this land. And then one day on a cross at the top of a hill in Golgotha, God, in the city of Jerusalem, there's going to be a light shine out through the darkness of sin and the dominion of sin and set the captives free. And God, unless this land is taken right now in this country, in this hour, 2017, drawing to a close, God, unless the church gets serious to surrender and take the land, to give you every bit that you have promised to us, God, in the name we pray, you fought these battles. You have fought these battles and won them. And God, in your name we pray, God, finish what you've started, as only your Spirit can do it. And God, we pray for every person that's not here tonight, God, that has a struggle that the enemy is beating them with, God, that there would be a healing touch. God, when Abraham went across the Jordan, God, when he entered into that land, Lord, and laid his feet upon it and cast his eyes upon it, he claimed it. You gave it, he claimed it. And God, that's what we want. And then when his children wouldn't go in, you went back to your promise to him. And God, you're making promise to us tonight, and we claim it for every believer, not just in the United States, but in Central America. God, for the church in Honduras. God, these lying doctrines that have beat up people. God, there are pastors who hear the truth, and they're afraid, God, of standing with the truth because it would be costly to them. God, we pray for broken and contrite hearts. God, we pray for your Spirit and presence to accomplish in those pastors, Lord, the victory that you've ordained. Guatemala, Costa Rica, God, we pray, Jesus, in your name for all these countries. God, that your will be done in us. Nicaragua, God, we pray it in your name. Now, Jesus, touch Central America with your Spirit and presence. God, build your church. God, build up your church in this country. God, we pray it in your righteous name. God, we thank you for the protection that you've afforded us through your Spirit. God, by being obedient to your word, God, cause us to come into that place supernaturally. God, in your name we pray. God, in your name we pray. Holy Lamb of God. Holy Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, we praise your great name. God, we praise your great name. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Take somebody's hand next to you and say, I don't care if it breaks my heart. I don't care what it costs. I want the Spirit and presence of God to bring me to this place of absolute victory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you for your mercy and grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. What a loving God. What a mighty Savior. Thank you, Jesus. All right. You're welcome to stay and pray. I appreciate everybody that's worked all day long to make the dinner possible. Thank you, everybody who helped clean it up. That was a blessing. I appreciate what the Lord's done, how he's just blessed us with this fellowship divine. We miss each other, and we're just glad to have this time to be together. What a blessing God's bestowed upon us. So, all right, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Young people are going to meet at 4 o'clock. It's Saturday, yes? See how that works? All right. And at 4:30, yes, there's going to be another dinner. So the young people, we're going to meet just a little bit earlier because we're going to sing some songs, and Aiden's promised to bring a word. And so we want to make that appointment. And if you have something you want to say and you're a young person, why, you bring that as well. Because we'll just take the time. Because I didn't get to the dinner tonight till 5:06. So, and I ate plenty. So I just want the young people, don't be afraid, I'm telling you. We might be here till 5:30. But if we're having a great time in the Lord, then we're just having a great time in the Lord. Am I right? That's right. So, and besides that, your mom will probably stash something for you. So, and tomorrow's Italian, yes? Now, I have to say that the Spanish flavor was in everything I tasted. I was warned when I first got here by someone that they thought they had eaten too much. But somehow I didn't heed the warning. So, it was magnificent. All right. All right. Lord bless you. Go in peace, and we will see you tomorrow. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord bless you. Oh, and let's sing happy birthday to Jeanette. Anybody else got a birthday going on right now? Is this a lonely, lonely birthday? Amy's is the fifth? Well, that's too far away. That's next year already. All right. So happy birthday to Amy and happy birthday to Jeanette. I know she's here somewhere. How do you pronounce that? Jeanette? Jeanette? All right. I pronounced it Jeanette. Jeanette. But that was French and it never went over. God, we just thank you, Lord, for these birthdays. God, we thank you for a year of blessings in the lives of these young people, God, and on Amy. Lord, that your spirit and presence would accomplish in all of us what only your mercy can. God, we're growing up together, and I praise you for that. And we ask you to be exalted in our lives, in Jeanette's life, in Amy's life. God, we praise you and glorify you, Lord, for having birthed us anew, to give us this new man inside. God, we praise you for that. What a glory you are to us. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jeanette. Happy birthday, Amy. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Thank you, Jesus. We all remember when she was about three. And you'd come and see us, and she'd say at the door, "My birthday is December 29th. Come to my party." All year long. And how could you deny that? And she was so cute because she had her two eye teeth first, and she smiled and she would growl. Growl. I'm going to be at your party. All right, Lord bless you. Go and be.